This is Senator Al Simpson. The swirling controversy over John Towers' nomination to become Secretary of Defense should sound a very clear warning bell for all citizens seeking public service. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, make no mistake about it, John Towers' nomination is being debated without one single shred of real evidence to back up the charges of misconduct. And the whole debate is occurring without any real discussion at all of the nation's critical defense needs. Because if this debate is only about defense, then John Tower is one of the most highly qualified persons ever to serve as Secretary of Defense. I've read the full FBI report. And Ted, if that's the kind of stuff that brings a human being down in Washington, D.C. or anywhere, then we'd all better pull up stakes. At the end of all this headhunting, John Tower's grandchildren will at least be able to read the truth in the congressional record. At least some members of the Senate will carefully review this man's lifetime of extraordinary public service.
Al, President Bush, like every president, deserves broad leeway in selecting his cabinet. But the Senate has its own constitutional responsibility on nominations. And Sam Nunn deserves great credit for insisting that we live up to that responsibility. This is that rare occasion, Al, when it's the Senate's duty to say no to the president and ask him to choose again. Few offices in government are more essential to the nation's future and to our very survival than Secretary of Defense. Many of us are troubled by the allegations of misconduct and impropriety surrounding Senator Tower's nomination, and the problems are far from dispelled by the FBI investigation and the committee hearings. Take conflict of interest, Al. Perhaps in spite of his lucrative financial ties to defense contractors, Senator Tower could still bring an open mind to decisions on national defense. But America should not be forced to take that chance, and the Senate should refuse to confirm him as Secretary of Defense. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is William Bennett, as drug czar, the right leader at the right time in the war on drugs? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the most important person in the Bush administration in the war on drugs, next to the president, will be William Bennett, named the nation's first drug czar. It's a new position, created to end the chaos in the federal war on drugs. We're losing that war today, Al. The mushrooming epidemic of drugs, drug gangs, and drug-related crimes is poisoning the fabric of our society. Mr. Bennett is eager to attack the supply side of the problem, reducing the supply of drugs flooding across our borders and into our communities. But he needs to be equally effective on the demand side, curbing demand for drugs through programs of education, prevention, and rehabilitation. Law enforcement can't do the job alone. If you and I and Bill Bennett agree on that, Al, we'll be fighting the right battle in the war on drugs, not the far-right battle.
What spooks you up more, Ted? Bill Bennett's conservative politics or the nation's drug problems? Your concern sure ought to be about the scourge of drugs on our country, so why babble into the vapors about the far right? We both belong to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Ted, and we heard all the lengthy testimony from Bill Bennett. I know you couldn't be there, but if you had, Ted, you would have seen Bill Bennett patiently and steadily listening to all of the commentary of the individual politicians and then thoughtfully trying to answer all of the many questions put to him. He repeated time and time again that we must zero in on every single aspect of this problem. That includes supply, demand, treatment, education, and yes, surely criminal prosecution. The war on drugs has to be fought on a united front, and Bill Bennett is just the great guy to lead the battle. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the Central American peace process. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The presidents of the Central American countries are trying so very hard to put the peace process on track. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the commitment to peace of most countries in Central America is pretty clear, but we have to follow the process so very carefully. In drafting the most recent peace plan, the presidents have called for dispersal of the Nicaraguan resistance fighters now living in Honduras. In exchange, the Sandinistas have pledged to assure greater pluralism, hold free elections, and allow free expression of speech and action. These are all of the promises that have been made before and broken so many times. Congress, still unwilling to commit the resources to fighting for democracy in Nicaragua, has played right along with the repressive and dull-witted Ortega regime. If the Contras are disbanded, there will be darn little motivation for the Sandinistas to accomplish those often promised reforms. It remains to be seen whether Daffy Danny Ortega lives up to these promises. My hunch is he will not.
Al, you just can't let go of military aid to the Contras, can you? Like an old prizefighter, you hear the bell for the new administration and come out punching. But the fight's over, Al. The policy was wrong from the start. It never worked. All it did was bring wider war and more killing to Nicaragua. It gave the Sandinistas the only pretext they need for more and worse repression, and they blame it all on Uncle Sam. One of the significant things President Bush did after the election was make clear he wanted to try diplomacy. The Central American nations responded immediately. They took the initiative themselves, which is not surprising. President Arias of Costa Rica won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1987 for having the courage to press his peace plan in the teeth of the Reagan administration's calls for Contra aid and wider war. Now they're making real progress towards peace, Al, even if you're not willing to admit it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on apartheid in South Africa. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. As one of his early bipartisan initiatives on foreign policy, President Bush should put the United States in the forefront against apartheid in South Africa. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one good way for President Bush to begin restoring bipartisanship in foreign policy would be to reverse the drift of the past 8 years and invite Congress to join in a new bipartisan initiative against apartheid in South Africa. The Reagan administration was always a reluctant participant in the battle against apartheid. Their dubious policy of so-called constructive engagement lacked any effective teeth. It emboldened the racists in South Africa and encouraged their intransigence. Congress finally took the initiative itself and enacted economic sanctions against South Africa over President Reagan's veto. We need to do more, Al. Join me in urging President Bush to put the United States where it ought to be, leading the worldwide movement against apartheid instead of bringing up the rear.
You can bet the rent that the Bush administration will show powerful opposition to apartheid, just as did the Reagan administration. Trouble with you, Ted, you have just one simplistic answer to the problem of apartheid, and that's sanctions. All that sanctions have done to South Africa is to increase the damn stubbornness of the ultra-conservative elements of the ruling white class. And sanctions only make conditions even worse for working South African blacks. Those who always support any sanctions, I think, have deeply held, almost religious convictions that they alone have the right way to oppose apartheid. I don't impugn your motives, Ted, the way you impugn those who disagree with you. You need to learn a little more about the art of compromise, Ted. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the serious environmental problem of acid rain. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Is Ted Kennedy willing to pay more than the old lip service to really solving the serious environmental problem of acid rain? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, in each of the past 8 years, the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee has passed legislation dealing with clean air and acid rain. People cheer, but then each year the committee bill rots at the desk without benefit of debate by the full Senate. Special interests by the ton, both in business and the environmental community, make real common sense results impossible. But, just like the Chicago Cubs always say at this season, maybe this is the year. Good preliminary hunches are that President Bush will present legislation that achieves sulfur emissions at the most reasonable cost. And for sure, we need to reduce the degree of toxic air pollutants from chemical plants and automobiles. I think everybody's finally on the right track, Ted, but you'll probably hang right on to your closed-down American industry phobia. Can't figure you out.
Sorry, Al. You're on the far right track. We don't call you Acid Rain Al for nothing. Year after year, your delaying tactics and distortions have kept sound environmental legislation on acid rain bottled up. And year after year, acid rain keeps on destroying priceless lakes and forests in many sections of the country. In the worst tactic of all, you cooked up a sham bill the polluters could live with and tried to sell it as a compromise. But you forgot one thing. The compromise you were selling was a sellout of the environment, an 11th-hour scheme at the end of the Reagan years to pretend you'd done something about the problem. It was no sale then, Al, and it's no sale now. President Bush wants to be the environment president. He's already told Congress that acid rain is one of his first priorities. Even if you don't have enough sense to come in out of the acid rain, Al, President Bush does. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A renegade legal move is underway to persuade the president to start using a line item veto power he doesn't have. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you and I agree that the president should have the line item veto. That's the power to veto parts of bills, especially appropriations, instead of being required to sign or veto an entire bill. The problem, Al, is that the right wing is urging President Bush to start using the line item veto now, before he lawfully gets it. I understand the concern of those who think Congress will never give the president the power, but the right wing's impatience is boiling over. They're pursuing a cockamamie theory that the president already has the power because it's implicit in the Constitution. Implicit? Shimplicit, Al. The Constitution says nothing of the kind. It hasn't been interpreted that way for 200 years. If the president wants the line item veto, he should get it the old-fashioned way, by statute or constitutional amendment.
Shimplicit? Careful there, Ted. The Constitution does not explicitly say a thing about the line item veto, either for or again. But neither does the Constitution address the omnibus continuing resolution, that evil little practice of lumping all the government spending into one behemoth of a bill. Such a form of reckless legislating is probably just what James Madison and Alexander Hamilton had in mind when they defended the presidential veto as being the salutary check against bad laws and the temptation of Congress to spend irresponsibly, unquote. You say you support the line item veto, Ted, but the hideous thought that a Republican president just might actually use that authority to whack away at some of those irresponsible spending practices you always vote for just terrifies you. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on drug testing for transportation workers. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Drug and alcohol abuse among transportation workers continues to be a deadly threat to us all. Will Ted Kennedy ever come around on drug testing for these people? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, in 1988 alone, there were 29 railroad accidents involving either drugs or alcohol. And who can forget the 1987 rail tragedy that killed 16 persons and injured 170? Ted, the ability to drive a car, operate a train, or pilot an aircraft is not a right. It is a responsibility. Those who take our lives in their hands must be subject to fair and accurate drug testing procedures. The Senate passed strong legislation during the last Congress to require the testing of transportation workers. You fought it successfully. Surely you can now find a way to support this legislation to protect our fellow citizens of the traveling public. Ready?
Al, random testing for illegal use of drugs makes sense in essential jobs, in the transportation industry, and in any other critical occupation. Where we disagree, Al, is over your continuing refusal to require reliable procedures for random drug tests so that law-abiding workers won't be victimized by false positive test results. You pay lip service to accuracy and reliability, Al, but you never put your vote where your lip is. That's why there's so much opposition to your testing proposals. You're not willing to include adequate safeguards to guarantee that drug tests are honest. That's not fair. Workers shouldn't be harassed or stigmatized or lose their jobs because of false positive results from quickie tests by fly-by-night laboratories out to make a fast buck, regardless of accuracy. If you really cared about the public, Al, you'd take your half-baked testing scheme back to the drawing board and do it right. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Whistleblower protection for federal employees who blow the whistle on government wrongdoing, blocked in the Reagan years, is moving forward under President Bush. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, for years, Congress has been trying to protect whistleblowers in government. They're the federal employees who identify waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption in their agencies and report it to the authorities. The problem is that current protections don't work. Honest employees are afraid to stick out their necks for fear of retaliation by unscrupulous higher-ups. Workers shouldn't have to risk their jobs to end government wrongdoing. Last year, President Reagan pulled the rug out from under long-overdue reform. In a surprise move, he vetoed a bill the administration had pledged to support. Now whistleblower protections are whistling through Congress again. President Bush is on board, Al, and I hope you'll urge your right-wing colleagues to do the same. If old blowhard Al Simpson joins the whistleblowers, who can be against them?
Blowhard? Me? Well, you could float a battleship on a raindrop, Ted. I've always supported legislation to protect whistleblowers. I voted for it last year, and I'll sure do it this time around. We're told that up to 70% of government abuse goes unreported because honest federal employees fear terrible reprisal when they report wrongdoing. We have to strengthen the law that gives the honest folks some protections when they become scared enough to blow the horn. We already have a system in place that was designed to protect whistleblowers, but it's not working like it should. So I'm on board when it comes to giving teeth to that current system. We ought to also give the Office of Special Counsel the powers to take cases to court in order to appeal decisions against the whistleblower. You're right, Ted. President Bush is also right, and Al Simpson is right there with you, too. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the crippling Eastern Airlines strike. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As the Eastern Airlines strike drags dangerously on, it's time to take another good look at the role of big labor in this country. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Big Labor and Big Ted Kennedy have decided to take their stand on the Eastern strike, and I think they're headed for something greatly resembling Custer's last stand. What labor just hasn't figured out yet is that a business has to make money to stay in business. Goofy idea, isn't it? And when a business goes broke, everybody loses their jobs. I can't figure out why the strikers want to destroy Eastern Airlines and destroy their own jobs. President Bush is so right to keep the administration out of this one. The union has been fixing for a fight, hoping to restore lost glory and ram it to Eastern's president, Frank Lorenzo. And it wouldn't matter one whit if the president imposed a 60-day cooling-off period. The machinist leader reminds me of Napoleon, and he's headed for his Waterloo, too. What kind of a dud is that guy?
Al, you're looking at the airline strike through Eastern colored glasses. Doesn't it tell you something when 8,000 employees would rather give up their jobs than work for an employer they detest? Even President Bush's Secretary of Transportation says Frank Lorenzo, the head of Eastern, could use a course in how to win friends and influence people. Instead, he's alienated his workers and run a proud airline into the ground. Union wage scales aren't the problem, Al. Other airlines have comparable pay and make a profit. Eastern has been run badly, and it's lost big money. Now management is desperately trying to blame the workers instead of itself. The surprising thing, Al, is that President Bush went along with those hardline tactics instead of using his authority to keep Eastern flying while both sides try to reach a settlement. Blame Lorenzo, Al, blame the president, but you can't fairly blame the workers. This is Ted Kennedy. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and I'll have a shamrock for Senator Al Simpson. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy saying top of the morning to Senator Al O. Simpson on St. Patrick's Day. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, St. Patrick's Day arrived, not a minute too soon. With all the misfortunes and missteps plaguing you and the Bush administration, you could both use a little luck of the Irish. St. Patrick ought to smile on old Shamrock Simpson because of your significant contributions to Irish immigration. Ever since 1965, U.S. immigration laws have discriminated unfairly against Ireland and many other countries. With a little more help from you, Al, this can be the year we finally take down the sign on the Statue of Liberty that says, "No Irish need apply." Another issue needs your attention, Al, violence in Northern Ireland. We've made significant progress in resolving regional conflicts and preserving human rights in other parts of the world. It's time for the same concerted effort to reach a peaceful settlement in Northern Ireland. The greening of Al Simpson did wonders for Irish immigration, Al. Let it do the same for Northern Ireland.
Hi, Teddy, you're a fine broth of a boy. Greetings from your friend O. Simpson. Thanks for your good wishes, Ted. And on this day, when it seems all Americans claim just a wee bit of Irish ancestry, we must speak out for peace in Northern Ireland. You've been a force for peace in that ravaged part of the world, Ted, a positive voice for a settlement of the anguish there. Recall, though, Ted, that religious bigotry is indeed a two-way street. An end to the senseless and puzzling violence demands that all parties to the violence abandon their arms, their ancient grudges, and their hateful bigotry. That great country of Ireland must not fail. So on St. Patrick's Day, an Irish toast to you, my friend. May the road rise to meet you, may the wind be always at your back, and may you be in heaven an hour before the devil knows you're dead. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Dick Cheney starts off his first full week right there at the helm of our nation's Defense Department. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, President Bush blew a 10-strike right down the alley when he picked my friend Dick Cheney to become Secretary of Defense. The Senate obviously agrees. Less than 10 days after announcing the choice, Cheney is confirmed and on the job. Wyoming guys are like that. For all of your hand-wringing over things at the Defense Department, Dick Cheney's very presence is sending some strong signals to our allies and our adversaries. Cheney is one of the most steady and unflappable men I have ever known. I'll admit to a lot of plain parochial pride here, Ted. For 10 years, Dick Cheney represented our state of Wyoming in the House of Representatives. We worked side by side, and I can personally tell you of his tremendous ability. The country is very fortunate that a man like Dick Cheney is willing to take on this tough task. He is truly a man who makes a difference. He deserves our thanks and our praise.
Al, I know why you like Dick Cheney at the Pentagon. I've seen how he sizes you up at those leadership meetings. He's a young Wyoming Republican with great potential, and old Al Simpson's Senate seat looks very appealing. One coincidence about Dick Cheney intrigues me, Al. He's the third Republican Secretary of Defense, after Don Rumsfeld and Frank Carlucci, to reach the Pentagon in recent years after serving in the War on Poverty at the Office of Economic Opportunity. That's good training for the guns and butter debate. I'll bet Dick Cheney at Defense will be more sympathetic than you are, Al, to the idea that slower growth in military spending can unlock funds for social programs that make America strong, too. The sigh of relief that greeted Dick's nomination was no accident. He's a talented congressman and an excellent choice for what may be the toughest job in the cabinet. President Bush picked well on the second try, Al. Congress's loss is the Pentagon's gain. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on protecting whistleblowers in the government. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is moving in the right direction on the minimum wage, but they need to keep on going. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, for 8 ideological years, the Reagan administration turned its back on the working poor and stonewalled any increase in the minimum wage. Now, President Bush is fulfilling one of his kinder, gentler campaign promises. He supports an increase in the minimum wage, but there's a catch in his position. The increase is far from enough to offset inflation, and workers don't get any increase in the first 6 months on a job. The administration says the lower rate is justified as a training wage, but that's just another way of denying fair play and fair pay to the working poor. The administration proposal doesn't require training to be provided. For many low-wage occupations, job turnover is so high that workers will never get the increase. President Bush supports pay raises for many others, Al, including members of Congress. What's he got against the working poor?
Not a thing, Ted. Slow down there. Any legislation that does nothing more than just simply increase the minimum wage is a bum idea. How you help the working poor by seeing their jobs go down the tube is beyond me. But a slight increase in the minimum wage, coupled with a training wage to encourage employers to hire entry-level workers and offer them skills and training, makes great good sense. It's tailored to help those who do not have jobs and who have serious difficulty getting them because they lack any skills at all. We know those folks. They're the folks employers just can't afford to bring on at higher wages. They can't cut it. Employers don't run charities. I've always supported some type of wage, specifically for young people, a wage that would give an employer an incentive to hire a person with a lot of enthusiasm, but no experience whatever. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Labeling Imported Foods. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As America tosses out billions of bunches of grapes, we must ask ourselves if there surely isn't a better way. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, the Food and Drug Administration took the proper steps to protect public health and safety after they discovered cyanide in a few grapes imported from Chile. That discovery could be devastating to people and to Chile's perishable crop industry. But I wonder if we couldn't have avoided the absurdity of Americans throwing out all of their own fruit because they couldn't tell if they had Chilean produce or American produce. Last year, the Senate passed a bill that would provide American consumers with a label saying country of origin on food products. But that provision was later dropped in conference. I think it was only fair, and the latest hysteria shows it's common sense, too, to tell the American consumers just where their food comes from. We require a country of origin label on imported textiles, Ted. Surely we ought to do the same for our food products.
Al, there's no question that a few terrorist grapes caused a very big international controversy. It's another frightening demonstration of the fragile interdependence that links all nations and makes us hostage to terrorist threats from the far corners of the world. But your idea of food labeling would have been small comfort in this crisis, Al. Few citizens realize how much of our fruit comes from Chile at this time of the year. Even with labeling, this terrorist threat could have caused serious disruption, and not just for Chile. So let's do what we can to help innocent Chileans and Americans hurt by the crisis. Overall, food labeling makes sense, Al. It's good to see you finally agree. Don't forget, though, you voted against the idea when it was proposed on the Farm Bill a few years ago. And now that you've switched to my side of the issue, I hope you'll stay put. That's what makes your position so interesting, Al. Flip, flop, flip, flop. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on too many aircraft carriers in the Navy budget. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Does the Navy really need another multi-billion-dollar aircraft carrier? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Reagan military buildup is over, but the Navy won't admit it. They're bent on building more aircraft carriers, even though most experts say enough is enough. The Air Force has dropped its plans to go from 35 to 40 tactical air wings, but the Navy insists on going from 14 to 15 carriers at a cost of $7 billion over the next few years. Since the dawn of the Reagan buildup in 1981, the Navy has already gone from 12 carriers to 14 carriers. Now they want to add a 15th, even though the current fleet is seriously short of the escort ships, planes, weapons, and skilled manpower that make carriers an effective fighting force. If Dick Cheney wants to lasso the Pentagon budget, Al, he needs to rope in this more carriers or bust mentality. The last thing we need is for today's hollow Navy to become even hollower.
Cheney will lasso waste, Ted, but he won't make it a hanging rope for our country. We've talked about all this before, and I guess you just don't listen, so I'll give her one more shot, Ted. Short years ago, we allowed our naval force to drop down to just 13 carriers. That left us highly vulnerable and proved to be a terrible strain on our naval operations. We can't again allow ourselves to ever be put in such a dangerous position. Prior to 1970, we never, ever had less than 23 carriers. We know it takes three carriers to keep just one carrier deployed. 15 deployable carriers are the absolute minimum needed to meet our peacetime requirements. Duty on a carrier is tough, lonely, and demanding. Sailors on board those great ships work 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day, and you're asking these fine young men to do more with less? Really now, come on, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on banning imports of assault weapons. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Bush administration is taking strong steps to fight the war on drugs, including banning imports of assault weapons. It's a good move. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Well, Ted, you've been fretting and fiddling away about drug czar Bill Bennett, and you worry so about his politics. Well, how about his first day in office? In league with other officials in the Bush administration, he moved swiftly to ban imports of assault-type weapons. The administration has now promised a full review whether these weapons possibly could be classified as sport guns. This is still an awful far cry from your burning desire to disarm all America, but there is thoughtful recognition here that certain semi-automatic assault weapons may not have a place in the gun rack for those who own and use guns only for sporting purposes. But your rabid views on gun control are well known, Ted, and they aren't shared one bit by either me or George Bush. But here is a move we can both applaud.
Al, I'll bet President Bush wishes he hadn't jumped to the far-right conclusion instead of the right conclusion a few weeks ago. He rejected action against assault rifles after the schoolyard killings in California, and he deserves credit now for reversing his position. But his action covers only 25% of the problem. If we're serious, we'll tackle the other 75%, the thousands of Rambo rifles made in America. Colt Industries is showing us how, in a remarkable act of corporate responsibility, they've voluntarily halted their U.S. production. The unholy de facto alliance between the drug gangs and the National Rifle Association is finally crumbling. Drug czar Bill Bennett deserves much of the credit. The police, whose lives are at stake, also deserve credit for making these killer rifles a law enforcement issue on the streets of America. And Barbara Bush deserves credit, too, for speaking her mind. May she do so more often. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.